Kerry says Assad must go. Today, Wednesday, January 22nd. This is The World. I'm Marco Werman. Syria's peace talks get off to a rocky start as the U.S. insists that Bashar al-Assad must leave power. Makes sense, according to this former U.S. diplomat.
You cannot have a legitimate government reflecting the will of the Syrian people, led by a man who has been responsible for the kinds of atrocities that we're seeing on the front pages of our newspapers today.
But the Syrian government won't budge. Also today, Iran's surprisingly popular fertility clinics and Olympic fashion ahead of Sochi. Watch out for those Norwegian curlers and their pants.
Most countries are leaving the colorful curling pants to the Norwegians. The Scots tend to, every once in a while, sneak something in.
Support for PRI's The World comes from Medtronic Philanthropy, expanding access to chronic disease care for the underserved by supporting organizations in communities where they live and work, such as Memphis-based Church Healthcare Center. You can learn more at medtronicphilanthropy.com.
I'm Marco Werman. This is The World.
There is no way possible in the imagination that the man who has led the brutal response to his own people could regain the legitimacy to govern.
Harsh words today from U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry on what he thought about Syrian President Bashar al-Assad staying in power. Kerry's comment came after a tense first day of Syrian peace talks in Montreux, Switzerland. The talks did not get off to a good start, and the sticking point is Assad's future. The Syrian government insists he must stay. The opposition, like Kerry, wants him out. Ivo Dalder is a former U.S. ambassador to NATO. He says the outcome of these talks hinges on Assad's grip on power.
Assad is not only in power, he has, over the past 6-7 months, been able to maneuver himself militarily in a situation where it is less likely that he will be defeated militarily, at least in the center of Damascus, in the center of power in Syria. So the dilemma is, how do you get rid of the one guy who seems to be pretty firmly in place? And how do you figure out a way towards that end? That is what has always been the problem in this peace conference, and it will be the problem after the peace conference.
How do you stop the killing?
Well, ultimately, I think in a civil war, the killing gets stopped in one of two ways. Either the parties are so exhausted from having this fight, having this conflict, that they find a ceasefire and then some political modus vivendi that comes out of it. Or one side in this conflict beats the other side and beats them pretty badly. Those are the two ways in which civil wars end. Right now, I don't see one side beating the other side because we really do have a military stalemate. And I don't see at the moment the parties being sufficiently exhausted to sue for peace. So as a result, I think the future looks like more fighting, more conflict, and more atrocities of the kind that we have been witnessing for the past 3 years.
What about dealing with war crimes, though? I mean, Bashar al-Assad is not officially declared a war criminal, but the evidence strongly suggests he is.
It's a very hard question that I think we always confront, which is, on the one hand, can you possibly deal with someone who has been responsible for the kinds of atrocities that have taken place? And on the other side, unless you are able to defeat him militarily, you're only going to be able to get to a final solution, an end to this conflict, by having a political deal. And you do the political deals with the people who are in power.
Now, Ivo Dalder, you were in the White House when Bosnia was going on in the 90s. Bosnia and the Balkans had the international community dealing with Slobodan Milosevic. Now we're dealing with Assad. What are the differences and parallels between the Balkans and Syria?
Well, in the Balkans, much of the debate was about whether or not we should intervene, and if so, whether that intervention should favor one side over the other. We really never got to a conclusion on that. It was only after the balance of power was changed through Croatian military intervention in 1995. And it was clear that the Croatians and the Serbs, at least, were willing to settle for a deal, that a deal became possible. And that deal had to involve negotiations with people like Milosevic. They had to be able to be brought into the game in order to settle the conflict. And to end at least. To